Welcome to Upworth United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Debbie Weatherspoon. We are drawing closer to the cross as we enter the fifth week of the Lenten season. We reflected on the Gospel according to John, chapter 12, verses 20 to 33, from the First Nations Version. Our theme for Lent continues, following the way on sacred land. The way is how Jesus referred to himself according to Scripture. And the scripture readings are from an indigenous translation of the New Testament. Our focus was on service and how we leave our legacy. We were remembering dear people in our lives, as well as reflecting on how Jesus calls us to service and how God is glorified in how we serve and love one another. May you be blessed as you continue on this Lenten journey.
Ananias, tell me what kind of man this Jesus is. Ananias, tell me what kind of man this Jesus is. Well, he broke all the laws, broke the laws we have for the Sabbath. Yes, he broke all the laws. Broke all the laws for the Sabbath, yes, he did. Ananias, tell me what kind of man this Jesus is. Ananias, tell me what kind of man this Jesus is. Well, he planned to destroy, he destroyed the walls of the temple. Yes, he planned to destroy, smash the walls of the temples. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Ananias, tell me what kind of man this Jesus is. Ananias, tell me what kind of man this Jesus is. Well, he claimed to be God, claimed to be the promised Messiah. Yes, he claimed to be God, claimed to be the Messiah. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did.
Good morning. The scripture reading is John 12, verses 20 through 33.
And we'll be reading from the First Nations version of the New Testament. Wisdom seekers seek him, along with the tribal members of Wrestles with Creator, or Israel, who came to participate in the Passover festival. There were also many outsiders from other nations who would come. There were people from these nations who came to celebrate the festival from land of wisdom seekers, or Greeks. These were people who often prided themselves in their study of wisdom and knowledge. They went up to Friend of Horses, or Philip, who was from the House of Fishing, Bethesda, in the Circle of Nations, or Galilee, knowing him to be one who walked with Creator Sets Free, or Jesus. They said to him, "Honored friend, we would like to see Creator Sets Free, your wisdom keeper." Friend of Horses, or Philip, did not know what to do, so he found Stands with Courage, or Andrew, and asked him what he thought. Then together they went to see Creator Sets Free, and told him that the wisdom seekers, or Greeks, wished to see him. He answered them, "It is time for the true human being to be lifted up to his place of honor. I speak from my heart. If a seed is unplanted, it remains only one seed. But if it dies, falls to the earth, and enters the ground, it will then grow and become many seeds. The ones who love the kind of life this world gives will lose the life they seek, but the ones who let go of their life in this world and follow my ways will find the life of the world to come that never fades away, full of beauty and harmony. Tell these wisdom seekers to walk the road with me. Anyone who wants to serve me will walk in the footsteps, and I will take them to the same place I am going. If they give up their lives to serve me in this way, my Father will honor them."
The time of honor has come. A look of sorrow came over the face of Creator Sets Free, that is Jesus. "But now I am deeply troubled and in anguish," he said. "Should I ask my Father to rescue me from this hour that has now come? No, I came into the world for this time and for this purpose." He then lifted his face, looked up to the sky, and sent his words to the Great Spirit. "Father," he prayed, "honor your name and show the world the beauty of it." Suddenly a voice from above spoke out of the sky, "I have honored my name, for it represents who I am, and I will once again honor and show the beauty of it." Now some of the people standing nearby heard the voice and said, "Was that thunder?" Others said, "No, a spirit messenger has spoken to him." Then Creator Sets Free, that's Jesus, said to them, "This voice you heard was not for my sake, but for yours. It is a sign to you that it is now time for the Great Spirit to make a final decision about this world. The evil one who now rules this world will be defeated and thrown down. But I, the true human being, will be lifted up from the ground and nailed to a cross. This is the way I will bring all things in the spirit world above and the earth below to myself." Amen.
Those who love their life lose it. Those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. These days, I've been thinking a lot about the dash. I attended a funeral on Thursday, and today we will hold a celebration of life in the sanctuary. Both people left a legacy, an impact on more lives than we'll ever know. Both died from cancer. Felicia Phillips, July 3rd, 1967, dash, February 23rd, 2024. Jerry Asham, April 16th, 1945, dash, February 19th, 2024. On the cover of the bulletin for the funeral for Felicia Phillips, there was her photograph. And underneath her photograph were these words, a quote of hers that she said often throughout her journey with cancer. She said, "I never asked God, why me?" Like too many of you here, and many of you know, I am a cancer survivor. Many of you are living with an illness, a disease. Some of us know our diagnoses, some of us do not. We who live while others do not, we may wonder, why me? At least that's what I've been thinking about. I think that's what's got me thinking about the dash. And the scripture for today, well, it didn't help, or it helped, I'm not sure, but it really brought it home a little bit more for me, and I thought I'd share that with you.
It includes the words about life, losing it, and keeping it. So many of you may know about the Dash and the Dash poem, but just in case you don't, here it is, by Linda Ellis. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted first came the date of the birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between the years. For that dash represents all the time that they spent life on earth. And now only those who loved them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way that other people feel, be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more than often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? That ends the poem. A life of service is a legacy of how we spend our dash. And we cannot follow Jesus without serving our neighbors. And we learn that well by he, Jerry Asham, who embodied them, this we know. A life of service can be heavy. And we see this in the scripture as Jesus is living these days at the absolute limit of what he can cope with, and lonely in the knowledge that no one understands what he is doing. Leroy spoke about that, the confusion. Jesus makes his choice and faces the cross. Our theme for this Lenten season, following the way on sacred land, is about walking alongside Jesus for the whole journey. That means all the way to the cross. We can enter his story knowing that somehow it's our story too. Jesus said, "Where I am, there my servant will be also." He is looking at giving his life away for something bigger, bigger than his own flesh and blood. And that is exactly where he wants us to be, living beyond ourselves, living more deeply, living through surrender, living through giving ourselves away, living through service. If we are to enter into the full joy of resurrection, then we will also need to enter into the full agony of Gethsemane and Golgotha. It's all of it. Life is all of it. It's suffering, it is death, and it is resurrection. It is fear and it is love. Just as we cannot get to Easter Day except through Good Friday, in our own lives, we can't evade the consequences of our own words and actions. If we have hurt someone or been hurt, we can't always pretend like nothing's happened and everything's all right. We are able to be real. And as we honor the sacred land, We know we cannot establish true justice and righteousness until we have fully faced up to the savage injustices and the suffering. But confronting the problems and the issues don't provide the answers. When Jesus commits himself to the road that leads to the cross, he commits himself to identify fully with the pain and suffering of this world. He said, "It is for this reason I've come to this hour. Abba, glorify your name." That's when God's voice is heard saying, "I have glorified my name and I will glorify it again." When we dare to confront the reality of the suffering in this world and in our own lives, whatever its cause, we may not find the answers. But we will find ourselves face to face with God and hear her say, "I know what you're going through. That is why I came. In your life, I will glorify my name." So that's the why for me. And I think that's the why for you. Or that's the why me. Why you? That's the why. In our life, however many days it has, God can be glorified. I said, in your life and in my life, no matter how many days, God can be glorified. But before that new life can be born and bear fruit, the old life, like the grain of wheat, has to die. And so it is with us. And to bring this home a little closer, I brought back a friend from the Advent series, Reverend Jan Richardson. She writes about this Lenten scripture. She says that it has her thinking about how God works in hidden spaces, in the inner being, in the secret heart, in the earth. She writes, and I quote, "There is work that God needs to do in us in secret, out of sight, away from the glare of day, removed from public view. Yet God has a penchant for revelation, for bringing into the open what is within us. God's inward work is to open us outward. God draws us deep inside, then draws us back into the world to bear the fruit that comes when our inner lives are congruent with our outer ones." End quote. Our why, our dash, our service, our faith. As we read in Galatians 5, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And now a blessing. It is titled Blessing the Seed by Jan Richardson. I should tell you at the outset, this blessing will require you to do some work. First, you must simply let this blessing fall from your hand. As if it were a small thing you could easily let slip through your fingers. As if it were not most precious to you, as if your life did not depend on it. Next, you must trust that this blessing knows where it is going, that it understands the ways of the dark, that it is wise to seasons and to time. Then, and I know this blessing has already asked much of you, it is to be hoped that you will rest and learn that something is at work when all seems still, seems dormant, seems dead. I promise you, this blessing has not abandoned you. I promise you, this blessing is on its way back to you. I promise you, when you are least expecting it, when you have given up your last hope, this blessing will rise green and whole and new. Just like you. Amen.